Years ago, George and I heard a sermon, and we can't remember who the guy was. A famous preacher talking. I think it was about Moses when he had been up on Mount Sinai, and he came down after being with the Lord, and he had the Shekinah glory. He was glowing, and the preacher made the statement, "There's something different about that guy." And then just, you had sort of had to be there, but it was really a statement that I've remembered. There's something different about that guy who has been with the Lord. And so today we're going to talk about being transformed by God. It's just a few verses, not a whole lot of deep theological truth, as Paul is continuing to share about his position, who he is, defending himself. So the background, he's writing to these churches from the first missionary journey, and he's defending his gospel, the gospel, for the Gentiles primarily, and his apostleship, because there were some leaders, some called Judaizers, who were accusing Paul of going rogue. You're dependent on the apostles in Jerusalem. You're not living up to the Jewish perspective of Jewish law. And so Christianity, you're not a good Christian if you don't have these Jewish things. And Paul has been discussing this in no uncertain terms. And in these first two chapters, he's really defending the gospel, the pure gospel, and his independence as an apostle, that it is God's gospel, not man's gospel, something we preachers need to recognize. It's what God says, not what we tend to make up for ourselves. So last time, if you were here, as Paul, part of his defense, Paul has reinforced that his calling, he was called by God, not deputized by Jerusalem apostles, and his gospel are directly from God. So he is not dependent on men. And that's the accusation, that somehow he's corrupting the gospel and he needs to be more dependent. Oh, Paul, you didn't learn very well from your teachers. And Paul is getting very adamant, or has been very adamant. No, this is what God himself revealed to me on the road to Damascus. And so if you would take your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 1, and we're just going to look at a few verses starting in 18, and I'll read verse 17 just to give us a little of the context. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem, Paul says. I didn't go to Jerusalem to learn from them, to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. And what Kelvin read, we got a little of what happened in Damascus, that Paul had to escape the city. Now, verse 18. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, or Cephas, his Aramaic name, and remained with him 15 days. So then, there are going to be some time markers that are giving the chronology. So this is 3 years after Paul's conversion. So he didn't run off to get deputized. He's sort of, just by telling his testimony, we might say, is emphasizing his independence from men with regard to the gospel. So you Judaizers, you're wrong. This is from God, not from your approved preachers, men. And that's a good lesson for the church, maybe today. Oh, but so-and-so big preacher says this. I don't care what so-and-so says unless it lines up with what God has revealed. So he went up to see. That word see can be better explained as get to know. So he's showing that I didn't go up to learn from Peter, Cephas, but I went up to just get to know him a little bit, and possibly Peter was with Jesus for all those years. So maybe Paul wanted, tell me about your time with Jesus. You know, tell me about the time you stuck your foot in your mouth, Peter. You know, that lot of Peter could tell a lot of good stories. I can identify with Peter a lot. But and so he remained with him for those 15 days. Verse 19, but I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now, the New Testament talks about two of the James, James the Greater, the brother of John, and then James the Less, were actually of the 12 apostles. But then there's also James, the half-brother of Jesus, that who was not one of the original 12, but he is considered an apostle. He did not follow Jesus during his earthly life, but after Jesus, you know, big brother Jesus, was resurrected, James became a very important leader in the Christian church, especially in Jerusalem. We're going to see that more next week. But so he also, you know, so Paul is saying, I went up, I didn't go have the apostles lay hands on me or anything like that. I only saw Peter and just got to know him. And I also saw James briefly, but none of the other apostles. So I am independent with my gospel. You know, and you can imagine Paul was, you know, explaining the gospel, you know, what God had commissioned him to do to Peter so that they were, you know, just some fellowship, you might say. So verse 20 then, now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed before God, I do not lie. Now that sounds funny to us because we like to, you know, I swear on my mother's grave. I swear on a stack of Bibles. Or maybe more, I swear by God. But for a Jew, that's a very serious oath. This goes back to, I believe it's Leviticus 19, that you don't swear by God's name. That's in the sense of using God's name lightly. So if you are swearing an oath, you are calling for God's judgment if you are lying. Even in the Roman context, that was one of the greatest things you could do at a trial was, I swear. You know, they took it a lot more seriously than we do now. You know, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? And that means you're going to lie all day probably in a courtroom now. Yes. So now concerning things which I write to you, indeed before God, I do not lie. So, you know, Paul is serious about his calling and the gospel. Verse 21, another chronology word. Afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, which were a Roman province up where Antioch and Tarsus are, up in modern-day southern Turkey and western Syria now. So Paul went up there, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. So in other words, so there he's saying, I was not in, you know, Jerusalem, the hotbed of the Christian faith. So I was not, people didn't know who I was back in the home country. They didn't know me, but personally by face. But they had heard my reputation. They had heard me because, like Calvin read, you know, Paul was a prime persecutor of the early church. So a lot of Christians, early Christians, only knew Paul. Yeah, he's the guy that drug us off in chains and put us to death. So he says, I was unknown by faith to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. So Christian churches, we would say. These are Christian churches, not Jewish assemblies, you know, which maybe the Judaizers would have been part of. You know, you're not representing the true church here, Paul, that has all these rules and regulations and circumcision and Jewish practices. So these are in Christ. Verse 23, but they, the people in Judea, which was the Roman province, once again, you know, that would be Israel today and parts of Jordan. but they were hearing only. He who formerly persecuted us, Paul, now preaches the faith, preaches Christianity, which he once tried to destroy. So there's something different about this guy. And they glorified God in me. I love that statement. So the churches heard about Paul. You know, wasn't that the Paul that killed us? And now look what God is doing in with Paul, with using Paul for his glory. And instead of, there's a good lesson we'll talk about here in a second, instead of, oh, isn't Paul wonderful? They gave God the glory for what he was doing through this former persecutor, Paul. Well, so what's the message for us? Once again, that's just a lot of history, not a whole lot of, if you will, deep theological truth, but transformation. Only God can transform lives. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, Paul saying this, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. You know, that's a good message for us. Do not be influenced by the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So transformation, something God does, only God can do, and he uses his word. So that's, you know, sort of my main point on this. Transformation, God transform us, it's through his word. Salvation comes through the word of God. But then our growth, our maturity comes through that. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, even maybe a more direct statement, Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, so Paul went from a Pharisee to being a Christian in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, that's just a transformation. And that's true as we in the church. If you are a Christian, we are new creations. When we look at the world, most of the world are still dead. And so why do we expect them to live like Christians? You know, they don't need us lecturing them on their sin. Believe me, God will take care of that. What they need is to be transformed by God and become new creations so that they can live lives that please God. And then one more verse along with this, Colossians 3:10. And you have put on the new man. You've put off the old dead man, but you've put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge, you know, knowledge according to the image of him who created him. We are created in God's image, and only by becoming a Christian do we ultimately more accurately reflect the image of Christ, the glory of God. So transformation, a couple words then that can sort of lead down the change, which leads to a changed life, which that's, you know, Christian obedience, that's our life. But notice it starts with God, not us trying harder. You know, we're Americans. I'm going to pull up my bootstraps and I'm gonna be a Christian if it kills me. Well, it probably will, and you're going to be unpleasant to be around. And that's, you know, and so here's Paul, who was literally killing people. And so now people are praising God because they see, boy, if the Ayatollah can all of a sudden start proclaiming Christ, only God can do that, we might say. You know, the ultimate enemy of Christianity, who is that today? You know, maybe the Ayatollah. I could make a political joke, but I won't. Go ahead. So transformation leads, should, you know, then only then will we have a changed life, which then is part of what we call our reputation. And this is what Paul, you know, the people had heard of his reputation, B.C., before Christ, you know, he persecuted. Now they knew my reputation and ultimately my testimony. We like to use that word. But when we give our testimony, is it about us? Or like Paul, ultimately, he's relaying history, yes, talking about his life, and that's perfectly acceptable for us. But notice how Paul is pointing back to what God has done. Same thing with our reputation. Our church family, for example. What is our reputation in the community? Are we known as a, you know, for our love for Christ and one another? Or are we known as that, you know, that selfish, inbred, whatever type of church? And that's very important. And as pastor officially, officially, I do commend God, what he's doing, that from what I see, whenever I talk and people talk, oh, you're the pastor of that church. You know, they talk about how, you know, how good the church, the people are. And I just let them say how good you are. I don't correct them. But as your pastor, that is good, that we are hopefully known for being the community fellowship of Christians. And so the idea of praising Christ as the head of this church family. And then our testimony, when we give our testimony, do we like to talk about us and ain't God lucky because I used to be a motorcycle bad guy killer and let me tell you about all my robberies? Or do we point people to Christ and the gospel? That's what they need. We've got some great stories in this church. We have a lot of people that have done a lot of great things because of what God has done for us. So, and then of course, finally, it's for God's glory. Peter writes, you know, after talking to Paul, 1 Peter 2:12, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, so our changed lives, that when they speak against you as evildoers, you know, Christians are portrayed in the world as evildoers. You guys just aren't on the right side of history when it comes to environmentalism, transgender, whatever it is. When they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So we're not being good just to pat ourselves on the back, but we should be pointing others, because we are transformed, to what God is doing in us. Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16, very familiar, where Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Not, wow, aren't those good people down there at CFC? You know, nice people. No, we want people to see Christ in us. You know, keeping the main thing the main thing. So, as ambassadors for Christ, we are but, I mean, once again, you all get gold stars and a hug. Hug for being good people. But you know what? We are all sinners in need of grace. And we are but trophies of God's grace, just like Paul. And when it's because of what God does, it ends up becoming, or it is gives him the glory, not us. So, and now as we go to the deacons, want to come forward? As we go to the Lord's Supper, and I will say, this is for Christians only. So, you know, this we are remembering what Christ, by God's grace, he has done for us that glorifies God, the death, burial, the body, the blood of Jesus Christ, God the Son, what he has done for us. And so he gets all the praise and the glory.